Let's explore the fourth vices. Who remember what it is? Attachment or bondage, Sanskrit word moh. Attachment is the emotional bond we create with people, belongings, or ideals. It can be very deceiving, convincing us we cannot survive without them. This belief affects our pursuit of happiness and inner peace, because attachment comes with expectations. When those expectations are not met, it leads to frustration, disappointment, and ultimately suffering. It's crucial for us to realize and remember, yet understand, that we exist before these relationships and possessions entered our lives. These cushions are real blessed to sit on. Usually are in two large bags. If one bag has more cushion, A, it'll be difficult for us to carry. B, we may injure ourselves or cause collision with another. Even damage the beautiful bag that mom sewed for us. Similarly, think of a backpack full of stones. The more stones we carry, the harder it is to move forward. Now, picture a vine wrapped tightly around the tree. While it may seem beautiful or beneficial at first, eventually it will stifle the tree's growth. These three examples illustrate that attachments can bind us emotionally and physically by stopping us from moving forward and hindering our spiritual growth. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches that attachments leads to desire, which can cause anger. When we lose what we are attached to, we feel pain and suffering. This loss deeply affects our happiness, our peace. And this is exactly what Tulsidas experienced in his life. So let's explore how attachments can hinder our pursuit of happiness and our inner peace through the story of Ram Bola Dubey, later known as Tulsidas. He was very attached to his beautiful and pious wife, Ratnavali. One day, while he was away, her brother came and took her to visit their family home for a festival. When Tulsidas returned and discovered she's gone, he was devastated. He could not survive being apart from her, even for a moment, just like how a fish cannot survive out of water. Driven by his desperate longing, he decided to visit her that night, despite the turbulent storm and possible dangers ahead. He ignored all cautions because of his desire to be with her. In haste, while crossing the swollen Yamuna River, he mistakenly grabbed a dead floating body, thinking it was a log. As he arrived at his in-laws' home, he felt apprehensive about entering through the front door, as it was very late and he didn't want to raise any suspicion. Instead, he chooses to climb to Ratnavali's balcony using a rope beside her window. Tulsidas's obsessive love for his wife clouded his judgment, leaving him insecure and discontent. Which raises the question, was he like this before she came into his life? Maybe not. And perhaps we all can relate to experiencing such intense desire or need for someone or something at some point in our lives. According to scriptures, it reminds us that the mind often distracts us from seeking divine interconnection, rather, while entangling us, bombarding us continuously with the illusions of the material world. So what's the solution? According to scriptures, our need for others or materialistic things reflect a deeper need for divine connection. This connection can only be achieved through the guidance of a Satguru, a realized master. The Guru serves as a bridge to the divine and can help us build that connection. This is the remedy Tulsidas applied in his life. So with anticipation to reunite with his beloved wife and share his journey, he entered her room through the balcony. When Ratnavali saw him in such a state, realizing the depth of his attachment towards her, she became furious and said, "Do you have any idea what you just did? It wasn't a rope you climbed, it was a snake. Your attachment for this body of mine, made of flesh and bones, binds you." Such was his intense love. That this illusion is temporarily, it's fleeting, but the Lord remains forever. He is the only truth. Can you imagine traveling far or near with enthusiasm to reunite with someone you hold dear? Only moments as you arrive, you'll be ridiculed as you appear. How would you feel? Valentine's Day is approaching, so how would you feel? Sad. So naturally, he was heartbroken by her reaction. But he needed that rude awakening to realize his ignorance, which he mistook for happiness, led only to pain. He sought her forgiveness because he acknowledges his error and expressed his gratitude. That marked the beginning of Tulsidas' transformation towards the path of truth. He embarked on a journey to seek a Sadguru and eventually discovered Saint Nar Haridas Ji. He was initiated with Brahmgyan, divine knowledge, the awakening of Tarai. And he learned to rise above illusions. He found immense joy by opening his heart to his guru's teaching, chanting the divine name, Simran, with every breath. He trained his mind to stay focused from worldly distractions and free from worldly bonds, transforming that sorrow into a deep connection with the Lord seated within him. Tulsidas' journey from worldly attachments to becoming an austere saint is remarkable. And in his Vijay Patrika, he reflects on his past, admitting he was lost and victimized by Maya, illusions, before meeting his guru. That it was through his guru's grace that the divine name was awakened from his deep slumber to his true nature. Acknowledging as a married man, he was intensely attached. But because of his guru's grace, he's now evolved into total detachment from worldly bonds, worldly elements. This highlights that a guru is pivotal in our spiritual journey, guiding us from ignorance to self-realization. Tulsidas' life illustrates that this journey that each one of us are on as Namayabhar is inward. And that contemplating on that divine name, Simran, enables us to ripen the heart with bhakti, true devotion, which the Guru reflects or mirrors. Swami Brahmananda beautifully expressed, Aise kari Gurudev kirpa, meri moho ka badan tod diya, jab vyapak rupa pehchan diya, sab bharam ka bandha fod diya. That the Guru has blessed me in such a way, by his grace and compassion, he severed the bonds of all of my attachments, making me realize that this world is a dream. The Guru has changed the direction of my wandering mind, freeing me from all entanglements of all scriptures, various paths, and shattering my delusions. It is only through the grace of the Guru that my mind is reunited with my innate truth. So how do we overcome attachments when they often perceive as normal? The key lies in attaching ourselves to what is eternal through Simran, the constant remembrance of God. The Guru, our Guru, Sri Ashutosh Maharaji, awakens us to that subtle technique that allows us to be in constant remembrance of God in everything we do. By practicing Simran regularly, it stabilizes our thoughts, purifies our actions and reactions, stabilizes everything within us, enhances our awareness. It acts as a shield from negative influences and breaks the shackles of attachment or moh, M-O-H, misconception of happiness. Moh, misrepresentation of realities. Moh, miseries of hearts and method of entanglements. Just like how Swami Tulsidas, Swami Brahmananda, and many other saints before them taught us about the consequences of attachments, which created by the mind can only be detached through the grace of the Guru, we learn through the practice of Simran. And through this, we build a strong connection with the divine and our authentic selves. Lord Krishna lived in the world, engaged with people, but he remained unattached, embodying devotion love that transcends worldly bonds. Similarly, Sri Hanuman, only attachment was to Lord Rama, embodying devotion that beyond the senses. So as I conclude today, inviting you to reflect on the attachments in your life, whether to people, possessions, fear of being accepted, of being loved, of being wanted based on how we look, how we speak, our status, our roles, whatever it may be that's holding you back. By letting go of these attachments, we open space in our heart to surrender to the lotus feet of the Guru for his teachings, so we cultivate inner freedom and act from a place of wisdom. So as I close today, praying to Maharaji, please, O Gurudeva, please bless us with the strength and energy to devote every breath with everything we do in Simran. If there's anything I said to upset you, please forgive me. Please do not create any unnecessary attachment based on the word that came out of my mouth or my actions. Sadguru Ashutosh Maharaj ki jai. Sachya Darbar ki jai. Thank you.
So for the past few weeks, we have been reflecting on the five vices that we are caught up in, the five hindrances on our journey to liberation, on our journey to freedom. Anyone remember what the first one was? Desire. Second one, anger. Third one, greed. And fourth one, attachment. And the fifth one being ego. Anyone knows why it's in this particular order? No? Any guesses?
The desire of the other?
Yes, that's one reason. But it's also the life of each of these vices. So if you think of desire, desire can be for a moment, desire to have something sweet, go to the fridge, grab a donut, satisfy the desire. Could be a little bit longer, looking to buy a new sweatshirt or the new video game. You'll go spend a few hours at the mall and fulfill that desire. Anger lasts a little bit longer, longer than a few moments. When you get angry with someone, at least for a few hours, that anger sits with you. Could last a day till you calm down. Greed, longer than that, a few months, sometimes even a few years, depending on what that greed is. Yeah. More, attachment. So saints say the first attachment we have is to the milk from our mother, then to our parents, then our siblings, then our friends, our things, maybe a significant other, and maybe things that we've worked hard to attain. We have an attachment to it. So they last, attachments last longer, and then ego lasts our entire lifetime. So they're in this particular order because of the lifespan of each one of them. So going back to attachment, our scriptures say, Man eva manushyanam karanam bandhan moksh. That your mind is the reason of bondage and your mind is the reason for freedom. Because this attachment only lasts within our mind. And there's a beautiful story in the Upanishads that illustrates this, where a traveler stops at an inn, asks the owner of the inn, can I spend the night here? It's been late and I was traveling for business. The traveler says, sure. The inn owner says, sure, you can stay. Why don't you go tie up your camel and come back, freshen up. I'll make you something to eat. The man goes out. He realizes that he forgot his rope in the market that he was selling his goods at. So he starts making sounds to the camel, ba 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 ba, sit down, sit down, sit down. And the camel won't sit. So he goes back to the innkeeper and says, I have a problem. My camel won't sit down. He says, what do you normally do to make your camel sit? He says, I tie this rope around his neck. Then the other end of it, I hammer it into the ground with a peg. And then I say, ba, 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 ba. And then he sits down. So the innkeeper says, well, go do the same thing. He says, but I don't have my rope. I forgot it. He says, that's fine. Just do the same actions. The man says, are you making fun of me? He says, no, just go try it. So he goes, he pretends to tie this rope around the camel's neck. Then he pretends to hammer this peg into the ground. And then he starts making the sound, ba 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 ba. And sure enough, the camel sat down. He's so happy. Goes in, freshens up, has something to eat, goes to sleep. Next morning, he comes, it's time to leave. And he's trying to get this camel to stand up, but the camel won't stand up. He's yelling at the camel, you want to just stay here forever? You don't want to go home? But the camel wouldn't move an inch. So he goes back to the innkeeper and says, I have another problem. The camel won't stand up. The innkeeper says, did you loosen the rope around his neck? He says, no, but I didn't really tie a rope around his neck. He goes, yeah, but go pretend to loosen it. So he goes, he loosens this rope around the camel's neck, takes out the peg from the ground, and then says, ba, 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 and the camel stands up. Goes back to the innkeeper and he says, how did you know to do this? I've owned this camel for as far as I can remember. But I would have never known that this is what would work. The innkeeper, a wise man, says this noose around the neck and this peg in the ground is not physical. It's within the mind of the camel. And this same noose is within each and every one of our minds. We feel like we can't survive without this. We feel like we can't live without this individual. We have our own attachments, our own nooses around our own necks. But if you stop for a moment and think, before you owned this article, you were living then. So you would live after it as well. This limitation that we build for ourselves, and by no means do saints or scriptures say, leave everything, go live in the jungles or the forests. But they teach us the art of living in this world, but not letting the world live inside you. As long as the boat is on the water, it will sail. But as soon as that water gets in the boat, what will happen? It will sink. So they teach us this beautiful art, this beautiful technique of living in the world, but not letting the world live within you. Gayatri started with the Mahamrityunjaya Mantra, which talks about the awakening of that third eye. When this eye is blessed through the grace of a Satguru, through the grace of a perfect master, we are awakened to the reality, to the truth that exists within us. And as we continue to practice, as we continue to connect to this truth, our consciousness starts to expand. We start to recognize, what are the attachments in my life? And you'll be surprised to find, for those who have phones, imagine having to give your phone up for a day, for 2 days. No, anxiety, we're stressed. That's an attachment. God has given us these things in our lives to use, to make our lives easier. But not let our life dwell in these things. The scriptures say that in order to free yourself from this bondage of birth and death, because it's these attachments that keep bringing us back, that keep making us take birth over and over again. That's why it said, Gur bin bhakti di tare na koi jo vrench shankar sak hoy. That without a guru, no one can cross this ocean of birth and death. Even if you have as much power as Lord Shiva himself. So when guru comes into our lives, he wakes us up from this dream. Because we all know, when you have a dream, you feel like it's real. You will experience it. You will feel the emotions that are in this dream. You might even sweat. You might even move around in your bed while you're dreaming. But as soon as those eyes open, then you realize, oh, this was just a dream. It's not real. It's the same experience that when our divine eyes awakened, we see this reality. We see what is true within us. And as we practice, as we connect to this light within, every day we're reminded a little bit more that this is the truth. And the mind that is attached to these worldly things, that is looking for satisfaction, looking for bliss, looking for happiness in these things, it starts to attach to that light that sits within you. Because as we see this light within, as we experience this truth within, as we listen to that divine music within us, that feeling of bliss, that feeling of contentment is beautiful. And it is almost like a drug. Your mind will start getting attached to that, wanting that experience, wanting to feel it again and again, wanting to experience it again and again. And slowly, because the mind can only be attached to one thing. Like the Bible says, the mind cannot serve two masters. Just like that, the mind starts getting attached to the truth that lies within us. And that enables freedom, liberation. Just like that squash, you just pluck it off from the vine. Just like that, we break this bondage and we leave. We attain that liberation, that freedom we're looking for. So brothers and sisters, for those who have prajna, as you sit and practice, pay attention to what are my attachments. And it can be a huge range of things, not just people and things, our body. There's so many things. And in your meditation, ask Guru to guide you on how can I detach myself from these things. So instead of creating relationships of attachments, building relationship of love. Recognizing that the things I need, this body is just a vehicle for my soul to fulfill its purpose. The things around me are just to make my life comfortable so that I can spend more time connecting to the truth. bit by bit, these realizations will start to come. So that when it's time to leave, like that squash, like that cucumber, you break away from this world with no attachment, with no regret, with no pain and suffering that I'm losing all of these things or these people around me. But you go happily because now you're attached to that truth that you are to merge back into. So we're going over these vices over each week because this journey is about knowing the self. The technique of Brahm Gyan is to know yourself. So to pay attention to what are my desires? What triggers my anger? How do I act when I'm in anger? Is there greed? Is there something that I am so greedy for? Is there something that is clouding my intellect, my vivek, that I'm so crazy to pursue? And then what are my attachments? What are the things that are like that peg in the ground that are holding me down, preventing me from fulfilling the purpose of why I'm here in the first place? What are the bondages that are preventing me from liberating my soul? This journey is about knowing who you are, knowing yourself, knowing what are the vices that I'm succumbing to, what are the vices that are holding me back, and then working on them to loosen those ties that are tying us down, to loosen that noose around the neck and getting rid of it eventually. So on that note, we'll conclude today's discourse.